I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in their chairs for a shape-up this week, our writer Jimmy Israel with us from Cleveland. Also with us, Christopher Ave, political editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. With us in Washington, D.C., Corey Dade, contributing editor for The Root, and Tell Me More editor Ahmad Omar. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Happy holidays. Fellas, welcome to the
Happy
shop.
Holidays.
How are we doing?
What's up, Jimmy?
Awesome.
Okay. So, you know what? It seems the Duck Dynasty may be going down. Before we talk too much about the reality TV show, we got a clip I think we should hear. Drop that.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, let's go eat.
No, hey, ho. Where's your Christmas spirit? I'm building this into a crescendo for Mom.
What does that mean?
That means, like, this is the grand finale.
All right. So, you know, I guess.
Okay.
So wait. Evidently, Papa Duck or Phil Robertson was suspended from A&E's Duck Dynasty for some comments he made during a GQ interview about homosexuals and black people, for good measure, I guess, mm-hmm. Michelle. You might want to explain this one.
Well, I really can't because.
Okay.
Let's just say that he had some detailed analysis of why he preferred women. Mm. Which is his perfect right, but he also had some negative things to say about gay people, LGBT people, and he compared being LGBT to engaging in bestiality, and he also said some choice remarks about how happy black people were growing up in pre-civil rights era Louisiana, and what's interesting about the story is how it's taken a certain turn into the world of politics. The former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, and Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal have all felt that they need to weigh in to defend Pat Robertson. Also, the fact that Phil Robertson.
Ooh.
And it was not a Freudian slip. It was not a Freudian slip. I happen to have been thinking about Pat Robertson for a different reason.
And, of course.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, he was suspended, as you were saying, from A&E. So that's kind of why they felt that they needed to jump in to defend free speech. So there it is. And I will not talk anymore. I'm not going to talk anymore.
Michelle, thank you so much. Christopher Ave, now you're a fan of the show, right? You know, so why do you like it? And what do you make of the controversy, bro?
All right. First of all, I'm shocked that a 67-year-old white man from rural Louisiana would not have the same values as a Hollywood television production company.
Clutch the pearls.
Good night. The show, you know what? I saw all the ads and I heard the craze and I thought, no way am I going to like this show. I am not 67. I am white, but I don't share a lot of the hunting love and the other rural things that the show reflects. But you know what? I kind of like it. I gave it a shot. These guys are kind of funny. They're kind of personable. I would say that what he said, I didn't think he said it very well, but I think it is worth noting that strictly on his view of what the Bible says about homosexual acts, a lot of people agree with what he
said
or believe that way. In fact, I saw a survey that said about 49% of the United States feels that way about that issue. Now, more of those folks are here in the middle of the country where I sit than they are on either coast. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a right to say it. At the same time, I believe that A&E has every right to terminate his contract if they want to. It is a free country, and that goes both ways.
You know, that it frustrates me that we love our reality stars, and we love them because they're authentic, but then we browbeat them when they are authentic. That gets on
Speaking
my nerves.
Speaking of Freudian slip.
Right? You know?
I'm not going to be the only one out here.
And it's so deep to me that, you know, we're surprised that a hillbilly has regressive race and gender politics. I mean, oh my God. Corey Dade, way in here.
You know, newsflash, there's a redneck who's anti-gay. I mean, you know, we can take that to the bank. I mean, you know, he is a star, particularly because he lives outside of modern American society. And so it's no surprise when he goes off the rails on something like this. But, you know, what I'm sick of, when he talked about blaming political correctness for the blowback, I'm sick of bigots blaming political correctness for this kind of blowback. The bottom line is That's the legacy of the civil rights movement. It holds you accountable for being a bigot. And if you want to inject yourself and get the fruits of being in modern American society, i.e. becoming a millionaire and a best-selling author, you know what? You get held accountable for your views that are actually offensive. It's real simple.
It's the marketplace. Well, can I just have one thing, though? Because there are people who would say that redneck and hillbilly are offensive terms. Like
I was going to say that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's a self-described redneck. Okay, I didn't give him that title.
Well it's interesting, like the whole white trash. He also called himself white trash, and that's another thing that is an issue that, you know.
Yeah, he said, I have no problem with the blacks. Okay, that's a problem right there. But the reason why he doesn't have a problem with the blacks is because he's white trash. So in other words, because I am somehow on the lowest rung on the socioeconomic ladder, I damn sure am not going to have a problem with other black people.
Who are all in his
because
view
they are the, yeah, they're at the same level, which is absurd.
Go ahead, Ahmad.
Yeah, it was interesting that bit didn't get as much, reaction as the bit about the homosexual thoughts that he had. But I mean, honestly speaking, who out there doesn't have an uncle or a grandpa or a dad or a friend that doesn't say that exact same thing behind closed doors?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm not white, but in Pakistan. It's funny to me because a lot of these same values are the same over there that they are all over here. You know, they don't like gay people, no abortion, no gay marriage, and he went off about adultery and drinking and all that stuff. I mean, lots of people think that. And the fact that anyone was surprised that this guy thought that is, I mean, no one was really surprised, were they? Come on. Who are you kidding?
Well, again, that's the only thing I don't like is that I don't like ascribing certain views to people because of who they are. Because
no.
I don't like people ascribing views to me because of who I am. You don't know
that's
what
not,
I think until you ask me.
No,
like,
but
I can't tell you when
point.
I was covering a Republican administration, I can't tell you how many times people would call me up and say, well, you're a liberal. So I'd be like, hold up. When's my birthday? What's my favorite color? What are my children's names?
Yeah.
If you don't know those things about me, then you don't know anything about me. So don't tell me what I think until you ask me what
I think. No, but I know young people who are not white who think those exact same things. So the fact that anyone thinks that is not surprising to me.
Can I just ask Corey, because I don't know, because we're going to cover this. So I'm not going to ask you what you think. Corey, weigh in on Christopher's weighed in. And he said, yeah, A&E has every right to suspend the dude or cancel the dude. And can I just say, I think people watch that show for the same reason that some people listen to our show, because they don't know anybody like us. That's a fact. I hear people say this all the time. They say, I don't know anybody like you, and this is my way of hearing from you. So that's why I think a lot of people like the show, including me, if you really want to know. I'll just be honest about that. I mean, and I like all of these shows, like the guy who fixes the motorcycles, the guy who, you know, trips out the cars, the pawn shop people.
But I think
I love
also,
all of them.
I don't think everyone likes those kinds of shows simply because it gives them a window into something new. Per se, I think in some cases it gives them a group of people who are willing to be a little bit more taboo. They're willing to engage and live a taboo in a way that people in modern American society do not.
But how is that different from Mad Men in the sense that, you know, you have all these people saying these, you know, racist and sexist things, and then people are like, oh my God, I want to buy the dresses. Why do you want to buy
these
dresses?
It's not. For some people, that's nostalgic. And I think in A&E's case, you know, they have a lot
riding on. Should they
cancel
it or should they not? Or should they suspend them or should they not?
A&E has a lot riding on the show. This is the most successful show in A&E's history. And what people have to understand is they're using this show to not only bring in advertisers, but to advertise and do corporate linkages across their entire network. And so if they have a show.
I know, they can speak for themselves. I'm asking what you think.
Yeah, I think they have to. If they want to stay legitimate in the marketplace, they have to.
They have to suspend him.
Anyone who's
been on TV or on the radio, you guys all know this. You go in front of the mic and there's a tiny little piece of you. You were already talking about Freudian slips, you know what I mean?
I wasn't.
It's been brought up. But pretty much the understanding is you're probably eventually going to say something
that
offends enough people that they're going to fire you. And that's just the business that we're in, and especially in today's day and time.
Rope.
So I don't think that they're surprised, you know. I think that they probably have no problem with it. They have a huge brand outside of A&E already. I mean, not to mention the duck call business, but just all the books and the speaking and all that. I mean, they probably knew what they were getting into.
Final thought, Christopher, you wanted to jump in on it?
Well, I agree with you. Phil Robertson is going to be fine, whatever happens here. But I find it ironic. You were talking about the taboos, and then that's why these shows are popular. But if they're too taboo, then they can get yanked. And I think that's the gray area there. I'm not sure what A&E should do. I think that it's an entertaining show. It makes them a lot of money. So it'll really be interesting as to whether money is more important or whether A&E's core beliefs are more important.
Or whose money. To see. Or whose money. Jimmy, final thought on this. You tend to – it's funny because you tend to be very – how can I say you have, tend to have a very expansive view of free speech rights. Maybe I'll put it that way.
Right.
Or yeah. Another way of saying not much offends you. So what do you think?
My hope is that Papa does not apologize. And he lets the chips fall where they may, and he stands his ground. I mean, we're all not living in the same America. He has the right to live in the America in his head if that's where he wants to live. And A&E has the right to say, hey, we don't want to show that. So, you know, Godspeed. God bless both of them. God bless America.
You might get the Chick-fil-A.
Amen, Brother Jimmy.
Well, we're having our weekly barbershop roundtable. We're joined by writer Jimmy Israel, journalist Christopher Ave of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, The Roots, Corey Date, and Tell Me More editor Ahmad Omar. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Okay, let's turn to the world of music. The Aura, R. Kelly, he's out with a new album, as it turns out. It's called Black Panties. Okay, there's so much to say, but we can't say most of it on the radio. Let's hear a clip from the song My Story. Drop that.
I speak of rain, they say I'm crazy like they didn't know. See, I'm not crazy, but my talent, man, got bipolar. Say she a church girl, but man, she blowing holy smoke. Showed her the Jesus piece, now she got the Holy Ghost. They asked him in an interview, why do
wow. Okay.
That was barely tolerable.
Yeah. All right, so critics say he's referencing his past, all the allegations of his inappropriate relationship with underage girls.
From which he was acquitted, but from which he was acquitted, it has to be said.
Listen, if we can be serious for like a half a second, sure. You know, this conversation for me is troublesome. It always has been, because we excuse this behavior because a lot of us, certainly in some black communities, have seen this behavior with not just young girls, but we've seen it with young boys in ostensibly consensual relationships with grown-ups. Me, myself, I have some history with this. When I was 15 years old, I was dating a 45-year-old. I called myself dating a 45-year-old woman. Now, I was living with my
totally
grandparents.
Which is totally inappropriate. I mean, you do understand
totally,
that, right?
And my grandparents let me know. They was like, if that woman calls the house, there's going to be a problem. And I got out of that relationship. But I think this kind of thing tends to be very low class, also very regional, but some of us have seen it and we don't know exactly what to say. I mean, it's not appropriate dinner party conversation. So, although it should be, because we need to protect our children.
So your point is what? When you're saying that, what should people do here? That's really the question before us. Is as a consumer, what's your responsibility here?
I'm not sure you have a responsibility as a consumer. If you like the record, buy the record. You know, the man and his music are different. I mean, Marvin Gaye, you know, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, actor Robert Lowe. I mean, there's a long list of people in the public eye who have had dalliances and full-scale relationships with underage children. You know, mm-hmm. Does that make it right? It doesn't. But if you're going to apply one standard here, you have to apply it everywhere. You know, so okay. My thing is deal with the man's art, you know, and have the other conversation at another time.
Go ahead. All right, Corey.
I'll deal with his art. You know, James Brown beat his wife, Jerry Lee Lewis, married his 13-year-old cousin. You know, there are, you know, Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones dated a girl for 5 years when he was in his 60s.
About it,
a girl. But the difference is their art wasn't built on their sexual abuse of children. Mm-hmm. R. Kelly's art is built not only on objectifying women in general, but specifically the type of acts that we saw in that video years ago. And let's be clear, it wasn't just one video. It was multiple videos. There are hundreds of accusations and allegations against
him.
But
it was never, I understand that, but we do have to clarify once again that he has been acquitted in a court of law of breaking the law.
Right. But he was never tried on rape. He was never tried on statutory rape.
Right.
On the things that he did in that video, in those videos, he was never tried on those things.
And that's why I think the conversation is weird, because we're angry with him for being involved with underage girls, but we're also angry with him for what we saw on that video.
But let's be clear. It's him fusing those experiences into his music. And it infuriates me that we continue to co-sign on it by being fans of his music.
Well, That video we're talking about was mailed to a former colleague of mine, Jim DeRogatis. It was at the Chicago Sun-Times. And it was a video that he was tried on for child pornography charges. I spoke to Jim DeRogatis yesterday because the stuff that kind of made this all popular, the conversation that we're having now, the details are not new. So I asked Jim why he thought, this is bubbling up now. And, he said he was surprised because he's been kind of beating this drum for the last 15 years.
But I think it's what Corey said, is that he has made it an integral part of his art. He's saying that this is who I am.
Right, but that's
deal
been the,
with it.
That's been the case for 10 years.
Yeah, and for 10 plus years, I didn't like him.
Jim told me that, he never expected this conversation that we're having right now to happen in his lifetime because he has been ridiculed by everybody for, continually beating this drum. And he told me yesterday that he interviewed dozens of families of young girls who cried on his shoulder saying that R. Kelly has ruined their lives. And he said you can't throw a stone in the south side of Chicago without hearing someone say that this guy has a problem with young girls.
Including Aaliyah's mother.
Married her when she was a teenager.
Christopher, you want to get in on this last comment?
Sure. I think it goes beyond his art. I mean, look at the album cover. And I can't really describe it in much detail, but there is a nearly naked young-looking woman on there, and of course it's called Black Panties. So, I mean, he's not only using it as the centerpiece of his art, he's using it to sell himself. And look, we're talking about it. I mean, more CDs are being sold even as we speak. But I will say
but that's
this.
Not why we're talking about it, because Jimmy is saying part of it is part of what Jimmy is saying, you have to talk about it. This cannot be not discussed.
No, I agree. It's a good thing to talk about. And I agree with Jimmy, too, in that, look, if you're going to start saying you can't buy this because you disagree with something that this artist has done, that is a slippery slope. I mean,
why can't you? It's your right to not buy things because you don't like what an artist has done. Why shouldn't you?
But how far?
I mean, there are people who have never gone to see a Roman Polanski film because he was never held to account for having sex with a 13-year-old girl. And there are a lot of people who will say, you know what? I don't need to support his art because I don't like what he did. Why shouldn't
they? They're free not to. That's fine. I'm just saying that just in terms of art, how far do you go to say, well, I'm not going to watch that because I disagree with something that person did? I mean, Got to Get You Into My Life by the Beatles. Paul McCartney wrote that about marijuana.
We're talking about his
All right, we have to leave it there for now. Important subject to talk about, so I am glad we talked about it. Jimmy Israel's a writer and adjunct professor of film and social media at Cuyahoga Community College, with us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Corey Date is a contributing editor for The Root, with us in Washington, D.C., along with Tell Me More editor Ahmad Omar. And Christopher Ave is the political editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, with us from St. Louis Public Radio. Thank you all so much, everybody. Happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And remember, if you can't get enough Barbershop Buzz on the radio, look for our Barbershop podcast. That's in the iTunes store or at npr.org. That's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. I'll be away next week enjoying time with family, so I'd like to say to you a happy holiday. Tune in for more talk on Monday.